Blog Talk Radio.
Churches at Galatia, and so we're doing part two
on today. And so our thought is, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for but ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So people don't understand that positions in the body of Christ, if you are a single man or a single woman, or you're a married man, or you're a family man, then God has an order. So this is what he had to do to the church at Corinth. He had they were very gifted and very talented, and so he had to set the church in order. So in the body of Christ, there is neither male nor female. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free, but you are all one in Christ Jesus. So it's the same way that the church, the local church, operates, is the same thing like a little foretaste of how it's going to be in heaven. We're going to be as angels, which means we're going to be neuter gender, neither male nor female. So there's going to be no marrying or giving in marriage, but the church is the bride of Christ. He's going to marry the bride before he comes back to earth to set up the Davidic kingdom, before the 7 years are up in the tribulation period, after the rapture or the catching away of the bride of Christ. He's going to marry the church. The church is his bride, and he is the husband man. So we're going to continue on here. We went through, talked about Paul's apostleship. I believe we went back into the Acts of the Apostles and talked about his conversion, how he persecuted the church of God, how he wasted it, and how he labored more abundantly than all the rest of the apostles. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, but he said, "Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." So we gave the history of the churches at Galatia on last time. So we ended up when he was Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Talking about the Jews, I'm just kind of doing a little recap from last week. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw they walked not according uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Jews to live to live as the Jews? And we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We kind of went back into the book of Romans, and in the 8th chapter of Romans, so he goes on, he says, "The law of the spirit of the life of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And he goes on to say, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak," notice the subject is the law, "what the law could not do is that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son, and in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They do mind the things of that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So he was saying, you're not in the Spirit, so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And then he said, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But the Spirit, if you have the Spirit, you is life because of righteousness." So there's a difference. So then the fact that what you always have to bear in mind is that he wrote these epistles or these letters to people or saints of God who are already saved. So that's so very important. And so he goes on here, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? He asks a rhetorical question, and he answers the question, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he goes on, conclusion, in the second chapter of Galatians, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So don't come by the law, but the righteousness of the law is fulfilled. That's why it came. He didn't come to destroy the law. Jesus said, I'm come to destroy the law. But he said, I came, this is in the Gospels, I came not to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. You remember in my intro when I say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So he came to fulfill the righteousness of the law. So he goes on here, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This is a question. This so only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? So he's asking rhetorical questions. And so we want you to know, you are welcome to call in should you have a question or you have a comment while we're doing this live broadcast on May 5th, 2015, at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. between 5:30 p.m. and 6 Eastern Time on May 5th, 2015. And so our call-in number, should you desire to call in, you have a question or a comment, you're very welcome, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. You're welcome to call in should you desire. So he goes on here, are you so foolish, having begun in the flesh, and are now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So that's another. He's making a point. So he goes on here to say, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So he goes, Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So we know this. See, some things are so, people don't understand and they run away with it. Now, education is one thing, and the word of God is another thing. That's why I made mention on last time, Apostle Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he was letting them know he was with them in weakness and all the things that were going on. And he was letting them know, when the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. And then he went on to say, the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. He went on to let them know, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And you see, you're calling brethren, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. He didn't say not any wise. He said not many wise. Apostle Paul was a wise man, a man himself, excuse me. So he says, the weakness of God is stronger than man. He's writing to the Corinthian church. He says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So talking about the kind of God we're serving, an omniscient God, which means he is all-knowing, or he knows everything. We're serving an omnipresent God, which means he's everywhere and he's every place. We're serving an omnipotent God, which means he has all power. So we got to understand who we're talking about. See, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. God made that body. He came into the world that he made in the person of Jesus Christ. God is, how big is God? He's everywhere and he's every place. He even told David, where are you going to build a place for me to dwell in? Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the place of my rest? In other words, that's a question that he was asking. So he goes on to say, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So there were two covenants. We're going to get to that. And Jerusalem is the mother of us all. And so we're going to get to that. But what people, I've heard people say, and people don't understand, they say that Abraham was the father of so many religions. No, Abraham is not the father of no religion. Abraham is simply the father of faith. The father of faith is who he simply is. He had two sons. We're going to get to that. One by a bondwoman, one by a free woman. That's an allegory. Ishmael was by Hagar, the bondwoman, who was Abraham's, who was the handmaiden that Sarah, his wife, told him to go in onto her. They didn't want to wait on God, so she was actually his son after the flesh, or it would be Sarah's surrogate son, as we would call it, and then the son of promise, which was by Abraham and Sarah. Her name was Sarai. His name was Abram. God changed her name to Sarah. He changed his name to Abraham because he's the father of many nations. So the son that was born of promise, his name is Isaac. So this is what's going on now. So he that was born after the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, or Ishmael was born after the flesh, and the son of promise, Isaac, persecuted by the one born after the flesh, even so now it is. And so we go on here, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. That's originally in the book of Habakkuk. It says the just shall live by his faith. So, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So he goes on here, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not two seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant was confirmed before God and in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, nor should make the promise of non effect. For if the inheritance of the law, it is no more of, for if the law, excuse me, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? A question he asked here. It was added, because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. It is the law then against the promises of God? And he answered, that's a rhetorical question. The next answer, God forbid. If there had been a law given, could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before came, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. So after faith come, you're not under that no more. So he goes on here, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there are other places. So like I'm saying, I want you to know that these epistles or letters were written to everyone who already had the experience of the new birth, and that is they were baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. They had the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they had the new birth, water and Spirit. So people call it Pentecostal, but Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost is not a denomination, but Pentecost is a day when the Holy Ghost was initially poured out. It was poured out on the day of Pentecost. So it's in the earth now. This is why Paul, when he wrote in the 10th chapter of Romans, he said, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith which we speak. He's talking to people already saved. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. And he goes on, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek. For the same Lord is the same over all, unto all that call upon him. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not heard? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear except they be sent? Then he goes on, how beautiful are the feet of them, you know, that preach the gospel of peace. Then he goes on to say, in verse 17 in Romans 10, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in other words, you got to have a man or a woman. The Bible is written in masculine gender, but you'll find when you read in Proverbs, you read in Psalms, you read about wisdom, you read about understanding, those kinds of words are written in the feminine gender. They say, take hold of her. Hold on to her. She is thy life. So you got to understand biblical terminology. So if we're mankind is the human family, and God made them male and female. So this is a ridiculous discussion that the Supreme Court is having even now about same-sex marriage, which is totally ridiculous. Whoever came up with that foolishness, your sexuality and all that. No, you're either male or female. That's the way. This is what Jesus said in the Gospels when he, during his earthly ministry, they were still under the law. He said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. So he didn't have to go all into it, people saying that he didn't condemn homosexuality. Yes, he does. That's a form of fornication. He made mention about it's going to be more tolerable than Sodom and Gomorrah, than some of these other cities that he was naming. And you know why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. So it's no sense in us playing dumb. People are trying to justify themselves. But like Apostle Paul said, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. So he says, knowing, and when he wrote to the 2 Corinthians, the church, the second letter, he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So you don't want hell to be your home. Nobody in their right mind want to be in the lake of fire with brimstone burning forever and ever, which is the second death, because they wanted to do what they wanted to do. No, you're not going to stop. That movement, the homosexual movement, is not going to be stopped, but individuals can still be saved. Folks are still lying. Folks are still stealing. Folks are still murdering. Folks are still committing adultery. Sin is sin. So that is definitely a form of fornication. If you're having intercourse, sexual intercourse with somebody that you're not married to, and neither one of you are married, that's fornication. But if one of you are married, that's adultery. So if the woman got a husband and the man don't, she's committing adultery against her husband. Or if the man got a wife and the woman don't, he's committing adultery against his wife. So, I mean, you can't get away. Sin is sin. So that makes no sense. And so we are mankind. And so this is what the gospel is all about. He that believeth and is baptized. He's not just talking about males. He's talking about the human family. So he goes on here. Yes, many of you have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. So in the 6th chapter of Romans, I want to backtrack. I was just dealing with the 10th chapter there, talking about hearing and how you hear, how you're going to hear without a preacher, by confessing with your mouth and all. These are people already saved. But in the 6th chapter, they were baptized. He was letting them know, know ye that many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So you're buried with him by baptism unto death. You rise to walk in the newness of life. You've been planted together in the likeness of the death of his death. You too shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified, that we should not serve sin. So in other words, you bury the dead. You bury the old life. You bury the old lifestyle. You're a new creature. So he says, you've been planted together in the likeness of his resurrection. So in other words, you rise to walk in newness of life. So this is what he said. You're a new creature in Christ is what he's talking about. So he goes on here, and these are our tags for today. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So everybody is the same. So if, say, for instance, in the local church, the wife is the pastor. So in the church, she is the head of that congregation. So everybody submit themselves unto the elder in the church, in the local church. So even her husband, she is his pastor in the church. Okay, now when she, so everybody's subject to her because she's the pastor in the local church. You leave the local church, she go home to her husband. The husband is the head of the house. The husband is the head, not her. She's his pastor, but she's subject to her husband. She's a wife. Her name is not pastor or bishop. Her name is wife, whatever her name is, in the house. So he goes on here, now I say that the heir, as long as he is child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. I just thought of something, too. And then also, say like if There are people who their mother, they were the pastor, their mother was in the congregation, their brothers, their blood brothers and sisters in the congregation. That is, he is their pastor, they are his brothers and sisters, or they are his children in the Lord. You leave the church, he's still their pastor, but he is their brother. So they don't have to, they're not subject to him like they are in the local church. So in other words, there's order in the local church. So when they leave the church, he's their brother. Or if his mother is in the congregation, that's his mother. He can't be saying, well, you got to do what I do because I got the rule over you. Yeah, you do in the church, but you don't outside of the church. So, I mean, God has an order. I mean, it's not confusing. It shouldn't be, and it's not rocket science. So he goes on here, but under different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, see, this is one of our scriptures that we use for the Godhead. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So remember, there's another scripture in the book of Romans says God has sent forth this. It says the same thing in the book of Romans. So we're always trying to let people know that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in another tongue or language. That's biblical terminology. You will speak. And so, yes, and so the other one that I was going to use, the other scripture saying the same thing, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is Romans 8 and 14. The 15th verse of Romans 8, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with us that we are the children of God. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the self-same thing. So it's nothing to be afraid of. And people, it used to be afraid years ago, she has the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues, or he has the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. That's the only way you're going to receive it, speaking with tongues. Now, I've never seen such. I mean, nominal churches who branched off from the mother church way back then in 320 A.D., and that is Catholicism, the Catholic Church. Protestants, the Lutheran, Baptist, Episcopalian, all of these branched off from the Catholic Church. So they try to say that Peter was the first pope. No, he wasn't. Peter wasn't a pope at all. Peter was an apostle. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Peter was the apostle that Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And so you have to do what Peter say to be saved. So the revelation of the kingdom was given. Peter got the keys. John had the revelation. Apostle Paul had the mystery. So we have to do what the apostles say. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that's Ephesians 2 and 20. So we're going on here. He's saying, whereby, I'll go back, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did not service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that, ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So this is the killing part about nowadays. The devil has people confused. They're going back doing all these things like the Jews did to keep the law, thinking that they're Hebrews, thinking that they got to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a salt covenant made for the Jews. And God, that covenant with the Jews during the earthly reign and in the new earth, he's going to take care of that. The Sabbath was not made for us. That's why Jesus said, Son of Man he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. So he was just saying the Sabbath wasn't made for man, but man made for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So in other words, that don't have no bearing on him. So every day since the New Testament church, every day is the same. So Sunday, according to our calendar, and a New Testament church, they came together to worship the first day of the week. That's how that came about. So the first day of the week is not Monday. The first day of the week is Sunday. It just happens to be a Monday, happens to be the first day of the work week. But the first day of the week is Sunday. So that's when they establish their worship day, the first day of the week in the New Testament church. So he goes on here, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He's talking to these churches at Galatia. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So they had great respect for this man. God substantiated him, approval on this man that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He even wrote in the 11th chapter of Romans, he was saying, as much as I'm the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. So he's the last apostle. There are no apostles today. People can call themselves what they want, but according to the scriptures, they're not any apostles today, because you got to meet qualifications. He chose them. He taught them. They were eyewitnesses. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They died horrible deaths, all except for John. And they tried to kill him, but he was kept alive because he had to go out in the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of God, of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, so he could write the revelation of Jesus Christ, saw the end of the world, and he wrote everything that's going to shortly come to pass. So he goes on here, Apostle Paul here, where is then this blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, but not only when I am present with you. So remember now, he's an apostle. He's getting this church, setting them in order. He goes on here, my little children, whom I have I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me that you desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. Remember, we made mention of this earlier, that we were going to get to this. So he goes on here, he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. That's Haggai. But he of the free woman was promised. That's Isaac. So he goes on, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. You have you who have been listening for a while, and you may have, if you have, you've heard me make mention about Jerusalem. You heard me say that God's holy mountain has always been Jerusalem. God's holy mountain is not Rome. That is not God's holy mountain at all, but God's holy mountain is Jerusalem. So this is why we were saying you got to put the word together. The Bible is the truth when it's rightly divided. Precept must be upon precept in the 28th chapter of Isaiah. So what he's talking about is a rule. You take one rule and put together with another rule. This is how you're going to get truth. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So this is how you're going to rightly divide the word of truth. So he says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So you got to know who you are. And so he goes on here, but as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. So that's what's going on. So the Holy Ghost ain't fighting against the Holy Ghost. So if people persecute a born-again child of God, when I say born-again, I'm talking about being baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives utterance, that is the new birth. That's the one baptism, water and the Spirit. So he goes on here, but he as then he was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Even so now it is. That's what's going on. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So we are children of faithful Abraham. Abraham, what did he believe God for? In the fourth chapter of Romans, he says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his body being dead, being 100 years old. He going on, he's talking about Abraham. I'll get that so I can just go ahead and read it. But the scriptures would speak plainly for themselves. So this is what he is making reference to here in the book of Romans in the fourth chapter. So the promises of God, you don't want to stagger after them. So he goes on here about this blessedness and all that it was, the father of circumcision, who we are, not of the circumcision only, but also walking the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Because, see, God had some promise. So the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void.
But the promise made not effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So he goes on here, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is our father.
So he is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. We're talking about Abraham, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, that means he makes them alive, and calleth those things that be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So he goes on here, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, the subject we're talking about, Abraham, he staggered, not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but for us also. He's talking about the church. He's writing here, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. So see, scripture must be upon precept must be upon precept, and line upon line. So scripture will support scripture. So he's talking about liberty. So we're free. We're not of the children of the bondwomen, as who was Haggai, whose son was Ishmael, but we're children of the free, who was Abraham's son Isaac, whose wife name was Sarah. She was the free woman. So he goes on here, stand fast therefore of the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. And see, this is what the devil, who is a real fool, he is a master of deception, he's a piece of trash, he's you can't defeat him, you can't overcome him, you can't without the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost to be able to overcome him. So God will get you out of something, and he'll try to bind you again. So, and I know that for a fact, and you got to know that. So he set us free. He made us free. And it's the enemy's job is to try to ravel you up and to get you all tied up and tangled up again. But God and the person of Jesus Christ came to make us free, and we got to fight. We're fighting the good fight of faith, what he's talking about. We're wrestling, not against flesh and blood, the sixth chapter of Ephesians, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world. We're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the way to do that, we got to put on the whole armor of God. And this is what he's saying. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In other words, you're going on the devil's territory with the offense when you got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're praying, we're begging, we're beseeching God to help us, to make us wise, to save others. Because, see, the ministry was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. So you got to realize what it is for. So he says, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So that's why I slow down, because some things are so very important. So again, our call number is 646-716-6566. Should you have a question, should you have a comment, you are welcome. 646-716-6566. So he goes on here. So we know, like I said, that's just a backtrack a little bit. The devil is a real fool, and he don't care. He know he has but a short time, and he wants to bind us. He doesn't want us to be free. See, when you're born again, you're free to serve, free to pray, free to be all that God would have you to be, free to search the scriptures, free to ask. Freely you receive, he said, freely give. So in other words, you can help someone else. You can win someone else. You're free. You're free in the spirit. So he said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you being circumcised, you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This is the question. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven, leaven the whole lump. In other words, a little hypocrisy. Like that's, he was telling them to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And what he was talking about is their hypocrisy. So he goes on, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would the day were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. There it is right there. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. See, the devil knows that. He'll instigate something and he's gone. Let you, if you bite and devour one another, you're going to be consumed one of another. So we'll finish this chapter out, and then we'll come back next week and finish it up. Then he goes on here. Here's what we have to do. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So see, we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Your worst enemy is yourself. So all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of the life, they're not of the Father, they're of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, John says, abideth forever. So he goes on here, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh, they are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, which witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, people need to learn that, because too many times people are caught up on power struggles and, oh, you know, they so important. I'm this and I'm that. No, none of us ain't nothing without the Lord. So the point being is the gospel message is about Jesus and about souls being saved, not folks trying to do a whole bunch of works to be noticed. But you truly led in the Spirit, you're going to be trying to help someone else. And initially, God opened a door for you to preach to somebody that you know don't have the salvation of God, and you melt under the load. Shame on you. That's what some people have done. You preach Christ. You preach Christ. Paul and them got ran out of the synagogue. They got ran out of town. Why? Because they preached Jesus. They preached, it's like he said, I preach unto you the whole counsel of God. So ain't no, they think this and that. No, you got to make sure they know, because that might be your only chance. You got to look at it as you planting seeds. You're trying to help somebody make the rapture. So it's just people are not really focused like they ought be on today. So we want you to know, we have the question that we want you to think upon. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And please examine yourselves, Paul said, see whether you be in the faith. Think on this question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?